Understand this, that every one of us needs to understand what awaits us. The scripture has been left to us for many reasons, but one of them is to simply show us what's ahead. For those who dare to break with ritual and become part of a living, moving, breathing, organic entity. A girl. I speak to you across my own lifetime. How long is that back? How far back does that go? When Franklin Roosevelt was running for re-election? No, further back than that. Back to the first century. Back to the Priscillianists. Back to the Celtic Church. Back to the Lollards. To the Hussites. To Henry Phillips, who betrayed William Tyndale, my favorite villain. And oh, Henry Phillips, how many times have we met your kin? Not only did you betray William Tyndale to be burned at the stake, but before Tyndale was tried and burned, you sat outside his prison cell, and no one could visit William Tyndale without you, Henry Phillips telling the people what a horrible human being with whom they were about to meet, and who testified under oath of the wickedness of William Tyndale. Across those ages, I have reached back and studied in depth and in detail what each one of those generations of dissenters have gone through. And now I have been in the presence of the little flock. I have heard the tales of the Jesus family, which was virtually liquidated. I have walked among and known the leaders of what is usually called the boxing churches of India. I have lived with, cried with, prayed with, and commiserated with, and praised God with Prem Pradhan of India. Oh, have I heard the stories of the Plymouth Brethren, whom we are told have gone through more splits than any other denomination in the evangelical world? This I tell you, that the splits are so similar you could interchange them of what happened during the days of Wycliffe, for those that happened among the little flock, are the followers of Prem Pradhan over against the Waldensians and the Anabaptists. Can exchange their story with the Moravians. Yet on every occasion, those who listen to their call, their Clandarian call, always succeed. But this I can add as a child of God who has lived than over a half of a century outside the institutional church and inside the joys of the church that is pioneering into the heavens, that not one man I have ever known who has split a church. Was following the Lord a few years later. Not one. The Piper's pipe is real. Words are captivating. The reasoning is impeccable. The vision so clear and so Christian and usually so free of suffering. But after the Piper has played his tune, he doesn't have another one to play. You cannot abide nor deal with those who have followed his song. Without exception, they have all crashed and burned. Not one of them was ever able to deliver to the point that most either have renounced their faith or have gone into the world. They only have a song. Such has been the experience all of us have had, and in every generation and every work on this earth. In my visit to the little flock in Asia, the first thing I learned when I stepped off the airplane in the Philippines was that the church and churches in the Philippines were all embroiled in a lawsuit. And as one of them said, we who have so cherished our unity are now in court. It is but an example of one among hundreds. With every person who walks through that door, the potential of an insisting on something are upon insisting that they themselves have a unique contribution to make, and without that contribution being laid at the church, then there will be problems. So what do we do? One of the things we do is to make sure that we know all of what God's people went through in the generations previous to our arrival. That we have touched on today, we will one day have the whole story, beginning with the Priscillians all the way up to the year 2000. This will make us wise concerning the past and will help us to understand where we are right now, as I've said, in the predictability of the human psyche, we can know pretty well. What we also will face is the price to be paid. Yes, there's a price to be paid. Does the glory, does the beauty of restoration make it come out even? Yes. Sometimes. No, sometimes. But there beats within the heart of every believer who has ever caught a vision of what the Church of Jesus Christ has been and could be, the knowledge that someone must pay this price of endurance and this price of unity. Please never think that this is something that is an isolated way, native only to Americans. I have known no exception anywhere on this entire planet. When we begin to read the story, there will always be those who seek to turn that story to prove that these were Bible-centered Christians. We have been fishing from that pond for a long time. The promise of what we can be and will be if we'll just be Bible-centered has a 200-year history And it is backed by seminaries and Bible schools all over this planet. Yet it has never, ever proven to be all that it is told it will be. Why? Because the center of this universe is not the Bible. The center is Jesus Christ. Knowing Him and experiencing His church, we draw from the Scripture, but we draw there not to prove the Scripture, nor to make central the Scripture, nor to demand obedience to not the Scripture, but a belief that if we will learn the Scripture, all things will turn out right. Bible-centered churches have as much or more wreckage than any other group of Christians in this world. It is the life of Jesus Christ that softens our hearts. It is Christ who overwhelms us. It is Christ who dwells within us. It has given us to, therefore, to find this Christ of Scripture and this Christ who dwells within us and to know Him. I have said in classes and I have said in meetings where the Bible is held up as the ultimate end, I have never yet seen anyone stand up cheering and praising God at what they have learned about the Scripture, where I have seen God's people caught in glory as they discover how rich is Christ. There is one flaw in a man standing and telling us to read the Bible, study the Bible, and obey the Bible. And the flaw is quite remarkable. You can't do what he tells you you must do. When someone tells you to obey the Bible, he might as well be Moses standing up on Mount Sinai giving you a list of 613 things to do to please God. The Hebrews were never able to do it. And now we Christians are being told just as many things that we are to do. And each Sunday it shifts a little bit. Something more is added to the list. Our frustration is as great as that of the Hebrews. We cannot. And there is only one who can. His name is Jesus. And the Christian life is only Christ to live. And it's not for the individual to do. It is for Christ in the church, through the body of his own body. These precious desires of ours to know him are fulfilled. No, it is not the Bible. It is the Christ who possess these people, and it will be Christ, and it will be Christ, and it will be Christ. It is this torch that we reach for. It is this torch we take to join that long train of those whose paramount witness is to Christ. This is that torch. This is that testimony. It is Christ. It is Christ. The Presidianists no longer exist. The Celtic Church no longer exists. The Bogomils, the Cathars, the Paulicans, all of these no longer exist. But there must be men who will at least for one day touch the Waldensians, the Moravians, the United Brethren, the Anabaptists. There's much to learn from them, not for what they are today, but what they used to be and what they ought not to be this day. It is quite awful to discover that all of these groups that do exist have yielded to the pulpit, yielded to the pastor, yielded to the sermon, yielded to the pew, and yielded to a absolutely mute laity. Such is the legacy, the traditions that prevail the world as a result of what we picked up during the Reformation. I repeat, it is imperative that we reach back to learn of those who no longer exist and to look at those whose came from hundreds of years ago. It has been my privilege to just about meet every one of those groups somewhere on this earth, and then come to work among the people closest to T. Austin Sparks, the very, very closest friends of Watchman Nee, to be that of Prem Kradhan's, and associate as closely as I can with the boxing movement. God, give us a few men who were born in the passion of seeing, knowing, hearing, learning, so that we can go on to where they left off. Yes, and to know their weaknesses, their blind spots, and their unique contributions, and to warm our hands at the fire, the fading fire of those people, and meet and speak with those whose lives, even in this modern age, were willing to lay down all. Not only for Christ, the church, but to endure the sufferings, the trials, the dangers, and yes, the divisions of which all of them passed through. There is no group, there will be no groups who will seize that torch in the future, but what these things that we have looked upon in these last few minutes, those are the things which will befall them and us. Yet knowing that, for the sake of his bride and for the knowledge of knowing him, and failing both, to know that we have given our all in the highest understanding and vision and practice of which the Lord has revealed us. Won't you come and join with us? Won't you join in our crusade? Won't you be strong and stand with us beyond this veil of flesh, beyond this body of ours, this flesh of ours? There's a realm, a world, for us to discover and explore.